If you have your Bibles, I would ask that you turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, to the 18th chapter, and we want to zoom our lens in on verse 21 through 35. Matthew chapter 18, starting at verse number 21, reading down to the end of the chapter, and it reads as follows. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and had delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one their trespass. Our thought for today is simply this: giving what you want. Giving what you want. We're continuing in our series on the parables of Jesus, which we're calling More Than Just a Story. And I would like to us to bow our heads in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to stand and proclaim with us, saith the Lord. Give us clarity of thought and speech, and Father, help our ears to be open and our hearts to be receptive to what you've got to say from your word through your servant. We ask, Father, that our lives be made the better, that our lives will be changed, that we'll be different men and women, boys and girls, when we depart from this place than we were when we walked in the door. We ask, Father, that there's a man or woman, a boy or girl that knows you not, they might understand that there is a reality called hell, and if they refuse or do not accept you before they leave this earth, that is where they will spend eternity. Father, help them to understand your grace and your mercy, which was demonstrated on the cross through the death of your Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. A parable, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Jesus was telling this story, and it was in the third year of his ministry, the last year of his life, which was the year of opposition. He was no longer the new kid on the block. He was no longer the new voice that was exciting and fresh. He was one that they had heard, and, you know, they kind of didn't listen like they used to, and people had studied him long enough that they thought they had found weaknesses or chinks in his armor, or they were making plans to do away with him and to get rid of him because they considered him a hindrance to their goals and plans for what they wanted the world in which they lived to be. So there was a lot of opposition that was going on. Sometimes it was behind the scenes, sometimes it was right out up in your face kind of a thing, where people would come up and challenge him. And this particular parable is told during the last few months of his life. And it's interesting because it all comes about because of a question. Peter comes up and he says, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? So 7 times? The Old Testament teaching that the religious leaders had taught, which you found in Amos chapter 1, is that if someone has a sin against you, you're doing well, not if you just forgive them once, but if you go over and above beyond, forgive them 3 times. They mess up, you forgive them. They mess up, you forgive them. They mess up, you forgive them. Boy, I mean, who can argue with that? Peter said, knowing that 7 is the number of God, or the number of completeness, he figures he will double it and add a little more to it. that's really going to impress somebody, because I'm just going to forgive you maybe 3 times for what you said about me. I'm going to forgive you 7 times. Every time you say it, I'm going to forgive you. Not that she says anything bad. She always says nice things because that's the kind of person she is. I use her as an illustration because you know it's not true. But anyway, Jesus says 7 times. Now, depending on which translation you look at, some people say it's actually translated not just 7 times. Some say it's 7 times 70, which is 490, which means you just keep forgiving. Just forget about keeping track of it. Just forgive. Some say it's just 7 times 10, which is 70. But you know, whatever the number, the point is that forgiving is something that should come as second nature to us as breathing, talking. We should just always forgive. I worked with a man named Dave Satterfield, and we were going to Columbus to pick up the new car. And we were talking about different people we know, and he said some interesting things that stuck with me, because there was one guy we worked with that was working on something with a guy that was supposed to order a part, and he ordered the wrong part, and he got the wrong item, and he had to change all kinds of things around if he was going to use it. Finally, he worked with the guy and got it sent back and got the right thing ordered, but he never forgot the fact that this guy messed up his order. And Dave says to me, he says, you know, you really can't judge people off of one mistake. He said, we all make mistakes. He says, you know, you just can't wipe somebody out just because they made a mistake. And then when we got to Columbus, we were expecting to get in the car and drive off. And they said, you know, we have problems. And so we sat there in the sun for 2 hours waiting. And he says, you know, I guess they're not as high speed up here as we thought they were. They kind of stumble and fumble around just like we do down at the park. But Dave's point was, you know, people make mistakes. Things don't always turn out all the time. You know, don't be holding people, you know, down and, you know, just getting all self-righteous with them, like, you know, you don't ever make a mistake and yours is always perfect and you got every dot and, you know, I dotted and every T crossed. He says, you know, that's not the way people are. You know, we make mistakes all the time. And the point is that, you know, Peter's saying, you know, when people do stuff, how far should we go? What is expected of us? And Jesus says, well, let me tell you a story. Now, in this day, debt was something that people got into. And as you can tell, things haven't changed much, because they say that people today have not only 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 credit cards, some people have 10 or 20 of them, and they have a maximum ceiling on them. A lot of people have run them up because they get one to pay off another. Of course, you know, they say you can't get blood out of a turnip because there is no blood in a turnip, so, you know, trying to get money from somebody that doesn't have any is kind of a waste of time. My own personal theory is if somebody asks you for money, if you can't afford to give it to them, don't give it to them, because if you're going to need it for something that you have, you're going to put yourself in a hole waiting for them to pay you back. But obviously, Miss Annette didn't have any money when she asked me for it, or else she wouldn't ask me, unless she's running a game on me, which she's not. But anyway, my point is if she didn't have it, and she's trying to get it from me to meet her need, why would I expect her to turn around and give it back to me when she didn't have it to begin with? So I say, if you can't afford to give it away because you're going to put yourself in a hole, then don't give it away. But anyway, the thing was, in this day, there was a thing called debtor's prison. And what happened was, if you didn't pay your debt, credit card was due, and Sears and Discover and American Express said, hey, start making little phone calls, hey, it's the 10th of the month, it was supposed to be here, it's the 10th of the month, where is it, late fee, you're over your limit, going to add more money, your interest rate has now gone up. And that was the problem with this guy. He had borrowed money, but the interest rate was what was killing him. It wasn't the principal, it was the interest. And he hadn't paid and touched this thing for a long time, and I mean, that baby was what they call a balloon. It was huge. You have to ask yourself a question. What does it mean to forgive? Well, if you look at Mr. Webster's dictionary, it says to give up resentment against the desire to punish. I wrecked your car, Sister Beverly. Just driving it to Greenfield and back, I met a fence post I never knew before. And you're upset about it, but it was not a big enough deal that you decided to get it fixed, but it was a small enough deal that you could think about it every time you got in the car. And every time you get in the car, you say to yourself, that famous song, what kind of fool am I? Because you're saying, I knew what he was like, I knew how he drove, and I let him drive. What was I thinking? And every time you see that slight imperfection, you think about me, and you resent the fact that you ever gave me the keys to your car. Forgiving someone means you don't even think about it. You just let it go. So it means to give up resentment against the desire to punish, because take him up behind the barn and get a big 2x4 and beat his head in. That would teach him. You know, so you let go of all that. My friend Steve here, he has an interesting temper, and he's always telling me, pray for me! I gotta go talk to someone. Pray for me! He says, in my younger days, I was... So he's really coming along. Because now he's asking for prayer before he decides to go attack someone. That God will, you know, remove the desire to attack when he goes to deal with people. But he's not that bad. But anyway, he's going to go, why are you using me as an illustration? Because it's true! No, just kidding. Giving up the desire to punish. It means to pardon someone. It means to send forth, to send away and say, that's okay, don't worry about it, don't even think about it. If you look at the biblical definition, it means to remit a debt. It means the remission of punishment due to sinful conduct. So you're not going to be held accountable for what you did that was wrong. You're not going to be punished for it. It means, in the spiritual sense, deliverance of the sinner from the penalty of sin. And the question is in this story, and in our own lives, who has the greater need? The first guy or the second guy? So debt was the problem, and what they would do is they had a couple of options. One was that they would come and find you and say, hey, you owe me some money. And they would say, now if you don't pay me, then I'm going to take you, and I'm going to put you into slavery, and I'm going to take you, Roger, and your wife, and your children, and you all are all going to go into slavery, and you all are going to get up and work from can to can until you pay me back the money that you owe me. There's no breaks, there's no days off, there's no holidays. You owe me money, I want my money, and I'm going to get it out of you, whatever it takes, however long it takes. You don't have a choice, or else I'm going to take you and throw you into prison. Now, the theory was, if I took him and threw him into prison, hopefully he would say, you know, I need to sell my house, I need to sell the farm, because I got to pay this debt off. Or else, if he wasn't going to do that, his relatives would go, we need to help Roger out. We need to get some money together to get him out of prison. People go, why? Why get him out? Just kidding. We want him out because he's a nice guy. What we do affects other people, whether we realize it or not. And you know how people are. Well, I don't know. Maybe you don't know people that owe you money, but I've seen people that owe money, or they do interesting things. They have answering machines, and they use them because they know when someone's calling that owes. They owe money to, they listen. You know, this is the bank. Ooh, well, just not answer that one because I'm not home. Or, you know how it is when you owe money to somebody, you're walking down the aisle in the grocery store and you see John, you see Dick, and you go, oh, there's Dick. Well, I went in something in aisle number 5 and I'm in aisle number 4, so you duck down the aisle, or, you know, you're driving down the road or walking down the street, and I see people literally cross the other side of the street and, you know, because, hey! You know, they like, because people feel guilty when they're in debt. And if that's the way we treat each other, how do you think that makes us feel when we know we're wrong with God? Well, we got the pattern for this way back in the garden, because when the woman ate of the tree, which she saw was good for food, desirable to make one wise, and she ate of it and gave it to her husband, and he ate of it, and their eyes were open. You know the story. They were running around, and all of a sudden, they were compromised because they were not aware of themselves before, but after they ate of the tree and their eyes were open, they were self-aware, and they went out and got some vineage and some leaves, and, you know, Adam, clothes do make the man, and he said, what are you looking at? And I just feel uncomfortable. And so when God came looking for them, they do what people are still doing today. We learned it from Adam. When we are wrong with God, when we are not right with God, what do? If we know God is looking for us, we hide. People go out at night. God can't see me in the dark. Right? The Bible says that darkness and night, they're both the same to him. So Jesus tells this story to make the point about forgiveness. And so, you know, they understood that, you know, that it was the custom of the day, if you owed money, what could happen to you? And his point is about showing grace and mercy. Now, there's some terms here you need to understand. It says that the king was calling these people to account, and he says he owed him 10,000 talents. How much is 10,000 talents?
Well,
one talent was equal to 6,000 denarii, or about $1,000. So if this guy owed 10,000 talents, he owed anywhere from $10 to $12 million. Now, I'm not sure when the last time you looked in your bank account, but I didn't have that many zeros on mine, and he didn't definitely have that many on his. So this guy literally owed a debt he could never pay off because of the interest. It kept compounding, and you never got to the principal because you're always paying on the interest. So there was no way, if this guy lived forever, he would ever pay this debt off. And he realized that, and he throws himself at the mercy of the king, and he says, "Have patience with me, I will pay thee all." You ever heard that? I'll pay you next week. I'm a little short this week, but, you know, look for me Friday. I told my nephew one time, because he borrowed money from me, and I said to him, "Well," he said, "Well, what? Like, you know, what are you talking about?" I said, "I think we know what the discussion's about. Grease the old palm? Make your conscience feel better?" "Well, I don't." So he finally gave me some, and I said, "Well, let me tell you something." And this is an interesting principle, because sometimes it's easier to say than it is to do. When you owe somebody money, they should never come looking for you. You should go looking for them. Because that says a lot of things about you in relationship to them. But we usually have people come looking for us. Duck and cover. So this guy, he throws himself at the mercy of the king, and the king is moved with compassion. I tell you that each of these things in this story represents somebody else. The king in this story represents God. The first man represents you or I. The second man represents anybody that we come across in life's pathway. So when you understand that, this is how the story fits together. The point is that we've asked God for grace and mercy. We've asked God to forgive us because we have a debt that we can never pay. In a spiritual sense, the correlation is this. We have a sin debt, something that we were born with, that there is no way, as long as we live, we will ever be able to pay the debt for our sins. But God has come up with a way, He's come up with a plan that took care of it once and for all. And the whole idea is as I told you, what does it mean to forgive? It means to removing that desire to punish. When the king had compassion, the desire to punish the man went away, and he forgave him the debt. I think it was Ben Franklin who said, "Neither a lender nor a borrower be." You know, and he said, you know, early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. So the whole idea is the Bible also tells us to owe no man anything but to love one another. So the Bible doesn't advocate us going out and getting into debt. It doesn't mean that we should never go out and do things, but the idea of going into debt with the whole idea that we gotta have it now because we don't want to wait. I always find it interesting, they say that in Ohio we have the highest forfeiture rate of any state in the country. Because we've got developers that will come along and tell you, Charlie, "Hey, we can get you into this house, $250,000 house, we can get you into it for just reasonable payments." And you say, "Great, where do I sign?" They say, "Right here." So you sign. And then Libby says, "We got this great big house with 5 bedrooms, upstairs, downstairs, basement, attic, 3-car garage, and there's no furniture in it. We need furniture. We need a new kitchen. We need a new stove. We need a new refrigerator. And by golly, we got the fan in the room. And Charlie says, "I gotta have a big screen TV. 60-inch. Got to have carpet everywhere, hardwood floors. I got to have it all. Got to have all the latest fixtures and the balances and the fancy stuff on the windows. And man, this is going to be a palace." And he goes out and he gets all this stuff, and all of a sudden he owes more for the stuff that's in the house than he does for the house. And all of a sudden now he can't pay for the stuff that's in the house or the house. So MI Homes or anybody else who's building homes comes and says, "Hey, you pay or you go." Next thing you know, he's out on the street because he got taken. Now he's going to get took to jail. My point simply is this. People make mistakes. "Have patience with me and I will pay thee all." Have you ever been forgiven of a debt? Have you ever been in somebody's debt and they just said, "It's okay"? And you feel a tremendous sense of relief, like a burden has been lifted, and you can finally breathe again. Whew. It's going to be okay. the sun will come out tomorrow. I can get up without stressing and worrying and having headaches and getting ulcers and hiding and sneaking and lying and cheating. I can finally walk around like a normal person because I've been forgiven. That is the greatest sense of freedom in the world, and not only in the world in which we live, but more so in a spiritual sense, when we understand what it means to be forgiven by God, how He could just wipe us out, and He didn't because of His love and His mercy, we feel great! It's wonderful! God is great! God is good! We thank You for that, Lord! But then we show that we still have traces of the old nature, because what happens is this guy is walking down the street, and he sees Dick. He says, Dick, I need to talk to you. Dick says, yeah? He said, you owe me some money. Now it says, this guy owed him 100 pence. So how much did this guy actually owe him? 20 bucks. He owed him $20, that was it. He was on the hook for $10 million. He runs into a guy that owes him 20. Now you would think, after everything this life-changing experience this man had had, where his whole life has been given back to him, he's got a fresh start, he's got, you know, just all kinds of opportunities, he's happy, thankful, you would think that this guy would look at everybody else and say, you know what? As good as God has been to me, I need to be that good to everybody else. But there was one little thing that didn't quite get taken out of him. He was still greedy. He was still selfish. He still wanted his pound of flesh. And he says to the guy, hey! And it says here what actually happened was, because it was allowed in those days, he not only says to the guy and speaks to him, he grabs him by the throat. And he's starting to choke him. Pay me what you owe me. Pay me. And, he's trying to get his
I'll pay you. Give me a chance. I'll pay.
You're going to prison. Calls the law, they take him away. And the neighbors are going, didn't that guy just get religion? Didn't that guy just talk about how great Jesus was and God's forgiven him? That stuff must not stick. Must be Teflon man, because what? He acts like nothing's ever changed. King hears about him. He says, bring him in. I want to have a word with him. The guy comes in, you know, whistling Dixie, feeling pretty confident because, you know, with him and God are on good terms, him and the king. Hey! My king! How you doing? My favorite king! And the king says, I need to have a word with you. He goes, oh yeah? He says, how are things going? Great, great. He says, you know, since we settled that debt up, I got a whole new lease in life. He says, you know, I've been running around trying to collect a few debts myself. Yeah, that's what I want to talk to you about. My understanding is you took a guy that owed you 20 bucks and put him in prison. Yes. Is there something wrong with that? Well, here's my question to you. You owed me $10 million and I wiped the books clean. But yet somebody that owes you a measly 20 bucks, you turned around and did to them what I said I was going to do to you. What happened? Didn't what I did to you mean anything? Didn't what I did to you, like I said, the thought for today is giving what we want. We want forgiveness. We want to be out from under the penalty of being punished for what we did wrong. He says, if I've done that to you, shouldn't you have the same mindset towards somebody else? But you know what? I don't think you got the picture. So here's what I'm going to do. You're going to prison. You're going to be delivered to the tormentors, which means physically being tortured while you're in prison. And you're going to stay there, and you're never coming out to see the light of day. And it says, his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors, so he should pay all that was due unto him. There's no way he could pay all that was due unto him, because he had a debt he couldn't pay. So he was not just going to prison for a day, but he was going to prison for eternity. So likewise shall my Father do also unto you, if you from your heart forgive not every one his brother for their trespasses or their sins. We can't expect God to do right by us if we are not going to be doing right by other people. Giving what we want. We should give to others what we want from God Himself. And I close by saying this. People always say, I don't know what God's will is for my life. I don't know what God wants me to do. Here's a classic story of us really understanding what God's will is for our lives. Because what God's will is for our lives is for us to treat other people like He's treated us. The Christian life is simply summed up in these two statements. Somebody asked Jesus, which is the greatest commandment? And He said this, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and mind, thy strength. And the second like unto it is this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And whenever we find ourselves struggling in our relationship to God, with other people, or even ourselves, it's because somewhere along the line, we have forgotten to keep one or both of those commandments. If our relationship with God isn't right, we have a struggle. We're out of sorts with God, and we need to get that right because we're not loving God the way He told us to love Him. If we're having trouble getting along with people, it's because we're not loving people as we love ourselves. Gordon, would you put yourself in prison because you owed a debt? No. Marjorie, would you forgive yourself if you made a mistake? Yes. Well, if you're willing to be that good to yourself, Jesus says, be that good to other people. Love the Lord with all thy heart, strength, mind, soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. What does it mean to forgive? It means to release somebody from the desire to punish. It means to release somebody from the penalty of the sin or transgression that they have done. Why is it necessary? Because it shows forth the love of God. When we forgive as we've been forgiven, people see that there's something to what's happened to us. But if we never forgive anybody for what they've done, even though we claim we understand forgiveness, maybe we have never really understood what happened to us in the first place. So, I simply close by saying, give what you're looking for. Forgiveness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for reminding us that there are conditions to forgiveness, and that if we want to be forgiven by you, that we need to demonstrate what you've done for us to other people that come across our path. And when we say, who does that mean? Jesus said, the neighbor is anybody we come across life's path, whether it's someone we know or don't know. Because we're all image bearers for you, so we show forth your love to whoever we meet in life's journey. We thank you for this and for who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.